Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V26 Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Visit Lowe's and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 7/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
You're listening to Brits in the End Zone.
That was good.
I genuinely got a semi.
That was good. Okay, should we crack on?
Hey, let's go!
Brits in the End Zone.
Come on, let's go!
Hello and welcome to Brits in the End Zone. It's getting sorry, what's wrong?
You just absolutely kicked off.
Out of nowhere.
Well, I just started.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have my headphones on.
How is everyone doing?
I haven't done my Will Ferrell exercises. How am I meant to be ready?
Greeny, you're wearing a lovely shirt and that's all that matters.
Yeah. As opposed to the previous podcast of no shirt.
Yeah, exactly. How is everyone doing? I know I've taken you rather by surprise there by starting the podcast.
Yeah, well, I no longer live in Kentish Town, so this all the stalkers
of course.
Are outdated.
Are we going to drip feed
location? No, we're not. Bear in mind, I'm in charge of editing, so no, the answer is no, even if they say yes.
We don't edit.
Yeah, it's all seamless.
It's getting to crunch time in the NFL. We're nearly at Super Bowl. We're at the one before the Super Bowl where other stuff happens. So let's hear from Jack, whose question is, what song best sums up each individual match from this weekend? Do we have any answers to that? Greeny, have you got anything?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with, this is very topical. So this is In Memory of Dolores from the Cranberries. And
oh,
I've gone
of course,
for
yeah.
the Saints-Vikings game, Linger. And I know we're going to talk through the games, but with 30 seconds to go, the Saints convert a field goal. They could have dripped a lot more off the clock down. Instead, they lingered. They let it linger.
Okay, nice. Okay.
Dripping clocks and yeah. lingering cocks.
I've been watching a lot of Salvador Dali, so that's right.
been watching a lot of his finest work. Yeah. He's up there with the best film director.
Start watching Paint Dry.
For the Saints-Vikings game, it's not a song that maybe sums up the game, but you know there's a Twitter feed that puts the like Titanic music
yeah.
to really sort of big moments in sport. They did it for the Stephon Diggs touchdown, and it is amazing to watch. So
it does make it very, very much more dramatic.
The Titanic song for what's it called?
Celine Dion. My Heart Will Go On. Is it that one?
The Minneapolis Miracle. I think they're trying to call it.
Any other songs? Any other songs that sum up games this weekend?
I came up with 21 Seconds to Go. I think I mentioned that song before, thinking that was Justin Timberlake.
So Solid Crew,
yeah,
absolute classic of our era.
There was 10 seconds to go, but that's not a song.
We get the drift.
Yeah, and Where Eagles Dare by the Misfits, because the Eagles, they
played.
Dared. They dared, and they did.
They did. JP, anything to add to the song?
For the Steelers-Jags, I've gone for London Calling, because
great,
the Jags channeled their inner London spirit.
London Blake Bortles turned up.
Exactly. Like, how many points did they score in London?
44.
The only other the time they hit 40.
That yeah. is also just an unbelievable song. The energy yeah. in that song really gets me going. Maybe
really
we
does.
Can put a little bit of it in at this point.
Throw it in.
Yeah. I've gone for Jay-Z, 99 Problems, and I was going to say that for next week, the Eagles have 99 problems, but the Vikings won't be one.
Oh, I see what you've done there.
Yeah, a little like that. You're yeah. all smiling. You're not, really not really saying anything.
Always do.
Let's talk about what's happened in the divisional round games. Let's start with the Saints-Vikings. As you touched on, what an ending. Greeny, talk through what happened.
It was a ridiculous game where the Vikings took like a nice lead, a 17-point lead. But with 3 minutes to go, the Saints get their first lead of the game with a Kamara touchdown, a really nice pass from Breeze. You know, and then the Vikings get possession back, and with 1 minute 30, it's going to really crunch time, and the Vikings convert a 53-yard field goal. Everyone's thinking the game's done. The Saints really just need to pick out and get enough possession to get themselves a field goal. They managed to recover from a 4th-and-10 possession in their own side of the field. And then with 30 seconds to go, as I mentioned in the song before, they really could have done a bit better clock management and try to get it down to about 7 seconds, converted a field goal, which they ended up doing, which left 30 seconds for Keenum. And in that 30 seconds, he had a few passes which went, you know, to try and get a bit more territory.
Didn't Thielen make an unbelievable catch?
Yeah,
in that,
he did.
He did to extend the play. Yeah, that's right. That you can see those yellow gloves from anywhere.
Well, Carl Rudolph has them as well, so I always get confused.
Yeah, that's very fair. But you know,
don't be racist.
But they're on their sub 40-yard point of their own half, and Keenan throws it to the sideline. Diggs manages to catch it. He stays in field. He evades a tackle from Williams, the safety for the Saints, and manages just to run it. That's a 61-yard field goal with time running out.
There's an amazing moment where Diggs catches the ball. You kind of see in his mind, he thinks he's about to get hit or he's about to like fall out of into touch, and then realizes that it's a completely clear space to run in for a touchdown.
I mean, it was ludicrous. I mean, the odds of them, I mean, the game was over. I mean, everyone was just like, oh, you know, well played Saints. This is like, there's no chance that they can score. And it was ridiculous. I mean, it's an absolute busted play on the defensive side. And
hopefully that's where the success and excitement for the Vikings ends.
It was the first ever walk-off touchdown in the fourth quarter of a postseason game.
Really?
And also, that can't be. Is that true?
It's incredible considering that the 45 years or however many.
Also, it's only the second time in NFL history in any game that a game's finished with a 60-yard touchdown.
It's a game of firsts. It's a game of firsts.
But those hate threats you sent to Williams were a bit excessive, Charles.
Moving on to... We'll brush over the Jags Steelers and... Charles, I'm giving you 30 seconds, not a second more.
Minutes.
Just get it all off your chest.
I mean, that was one of the best games I've ever seen in any sport ever. I mean, one of the best things I've ever seen. I mean, this
20 seconds.
This was a game that was kind of billed as being really low scoring and going to be like a defensive. The Jags' mighty defense against the Steelers have got a very good defense, and can the Steelers get a couple of touchdowns because Bortles won't be able to do anything? Within the first half, the Jags scored 4 touchdowns, which was ludicrous, and they got an unbelievable lead, and the game looked over. But then Big Ben threw ridiculous touchdowns to Martavis Bryant and Antonio Brown, and the game got back on track. And it was basically the Steelers trying their best to catch up with the Jags, but Bortles and the running game just kept on extending the lead and retaliating to anything the Steelers had to throw at them. And somehow the game turned out to be 45-42 with, I mean, unbelievable.
Unbelievable scenes. JP?
My favourite stat from this game is that Big Ben was the first player to have over 400 passing yards, 5 passing touchdowns in a playoff game. And he lost.
Yeah, I mean, those stats are ludicrous. I mean, you normally, a good game if you have 300 yards and 2 touchdowns, and that's a really good game. I mean,
you think the 5 interceptions against the Jags earlier in the season, 10 and 5 touchdowns, still wasn't good enough.
He did get intercepted and a fumble for a touchdown as well.
Whichever listener's been paying Charles to say the word ludicrous over and over again is certainly getting value for money.
Didn't realise I was saying it. Unbelievable, Jeff.
Firstly, should we give credit for that Martavis Bryant shout from last week?
Yeah. Credit given.
No, absolutely.
And moving on.
And secondly, it just seemed to be the biggest issue there was the linebacking core for the Steelers. Just couldn't stop the run. Fournette, 3 touchdowns.
I loved your running. Your Fournette stat. What was it against Bell? That he'd scored more.
Yeah.
What was it?
Fournette has scored more touchdowns at Heinz Field than Bell has this season.
Yeah.
Which is five
in 2 games, and Bell's only scored 4 in, well, I guess, 8? Nine games.
Yeah.
9 games.
Eight, 9 games.
What I like about this podcast is that we're just bang on the money with stats. we know our facts.
In terms of someone who does know their facts, I thought it was absolutely incredible having Red Zone's very own Scott Hansen on the Sky Sports
Ted
broadcast.
Danson brought it home.
I mean, I've actually got a man crush on him. He is the most amazing, smooth-talking legend.
He's a bit too polished for me. Do you know what I mean?
Polished.
He's just like, he's just so brilliantly on the money with every kind of
link. But
you
know, he's just making that all up as he goes along, and it's incredible. I don't know how he does it.
It's a presenting masterclass. It's a punditry masterclass.
It's phenomenal, and he gets so excited.
It's ludicrous.
He should be more fumbly like us, I think.
I feel like he was too energetic for the very British, like Neil Reynolds.
I loved
like,
it.
He didn't know what to do with it.
Neil just had no idea.
He literally didn't know how to act alongside him. He was like kind of pushing me away, getting up in my personal space.
More Scott, I want. I want him.
Starting the campaign for him to replace Neil Reynolds?
I want him to be on every show, not just NFL, just everything.
Let's put a poll on Twitter. Maybe let's annoy
get him on Bake Off, honestly.
Get him on Bake Off.
Yeah, I mean, he's energy and.
Let's move on. The Patriots comfortably beat the Titans, as we all expected. They move on to face the Jags. Anything exciting to pick up on this game? Or
just that Brady has as many Super Bowl rings as the other three starting quarterbacks in this week's games have playoff starts.
Oh, right. That's quite decent. Yeah.
Experience goes a long way. So I don't know,
I don't know if this is right. Did the Patriots have 8 sacks against the Titans?
That's another one for our facts. We're not sure.
Yeah. What's happened to our research team?
I don't know.
But that whole game was just a shrine to Brady. It was like he's just come back for a testimonial. The Titans did battle hard, but by the cornerback or the safety for the Titans was just saying, I marked Gronk as hard as I could. But Brady's just throwing missiles and just right on point every single throw.
If the two Sunday games were as unpredictable as each other, the Patriots beating the Titans was as predictable as it gets.
Yeah, I mean that was I don't think anyone put money on the Titans. It was just down the drain. Did you predict a good game for Amendola as well, or was that?
Yeah, Amendola, and I said Mariota would be all right. 2 touchdowns.
Yeah,
Amendola was leaned upon quite a lot. Over 100 yards.
11 receptions.
And Hogan with a touchdown.
Are we talking about players? How about we talk about Nick Foles?
Oh,
what do you guys make of him?
He's no Carson Wentz.
Is he answering questions?
I don't know what that question means.
He's answering the questions.
You're not answering.
No,
he's answering
answering
the questions that were left by the Wentz injury. Are the Eagles done because they've lost their star man?
Right, okay.
Is this
that's
a cryptic
the question.
Clue.
Right,
podcast?
Okay.
No, it's not.
He's been okay.
Fantastic.
He's been okay. Thanks. The defense and offensive line, I think, are what won you that game against the Falcons. You just didn't let the Falcons do much, and
they really pressured Matt Ryan into making some really poor throws. And I think that's going to be the Eagles' best chance of progressing to the Super Bowl. Keenum's really not performed when under like serious pressure.
I think he had sorry to jump in, he had a completion percentage of like 5. Or his quarterback rating was 5 when under pressure. So Eagles have one of the best defensive
linemen.
Another
great stat.
Another made-up stat.
No, that one is legit.
I have to say that when he threw that, when Matt Ryan threw that ball into the end zone towards the end, my arsehole was twitching, but but came up trumps. So it's
take the
fine.
Finger out then.
Well, no, you don't want to do that. You don't want to take it out too early. That's the key.
Not too quickly.
Anyway, any other news in the NFL? Of course, the UK games were announced. Excited to see a lot of our teams over in England.
They didn't ask the Browns back.
They didn't, no. Which is probably good news, really.
Yeah.
But that's exciting. Charles, talk us through the news in Tennessee.
Well, they have...
Can we not talk about more about our teams coming to Wembley?
Okay, let's talk about that
Greeny's
then. What do you want to talk
excited.
About, Greeny?
I'm excited. The Chargers, for the first time since 2008... are in Wembley, and we get to see Philip Rivers, who's the biggest legend in town, roll around. Melvin Gordon, last time he was in London, he took people bowling. He's going to take me bowling, I've got a feeling.
Greeny, you're going to be so disappointed when he doesn't take you bowling.
Was Melvin Gordon, when was he last in London?
I have no idea. I saw
10 years,
on Twitter.
Is this another made up stat?
It wouldn't be 10 years ago because he'd still be in college.
He was in high school.
Up north. No, but so the Chargers are playing the Titans. The rule is that if you're moving stadium or if you're hosting a Super Bowl, you're more likely to be having a game in London. So Chargers playing temporarily in LA. They're over here and I couldn't be happier. The Chargers UK fans couldn't be happier also, and I think that would be a good game.
Do you know that for a fact? Have you spoken to other Chargers?
They couldn't be happier.
I am heavily engaged in a forum and Facebook group, and
they couldn't be happy even if they were saying the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. Even if they weren't crap.
We're a playoff team next year. But you've also got the Raiders Seahawks, which is going to be hopefully with Gruden. You've got the Raiders back on track. The Seahawks hopefully don't implode.
For me, the two probably the two coolest teams in the NFL right there.
Well, that was your Super Bowl prediction. back in the day.
I think they've got like a yeah. cool.
That's going to be the first game in White Hart Lane.
We've got the Eagles Jags.
We haven't yeah, we're saving the best till last. I mean,
me and,
Super
me
Bowl
and Charles
rematch.
Have been sharing private messages along the lines of, well, the Eagles are playing the Jags, and I said, yeah, we should go. So that was, that's an insight.
But we're, you know, it's going to be it's going to be a Super Bowl rematch when we in a few weeks' time.
If it's the Eagles Jags Super Bowl, what are we going to do to mark it? Both watch it naked?
In the bath. We'll both bar, have it.
Both watch it naked in the bath.
Yeah. Okay. That's the fact.
Oh, are we talking the actual Super Bowl or live in Wembley?
In the Super Bowl. Super Bowl.
Okay.
No, I don't think you're allowed to take a bath into the stadium.
I'm willing to host that party.
I mean, you brought your own staircase to the stadium last time when you were hugging it on the floor.
Right. Okay. No, I didn't. Bring this. Okay. Anyway,
should we move on to Tennessee? Have we done London? What's happened in Tennessee?
Well, despite getting in the playoffs and winning a playoff game, they've sacked their coach Mike Mularkey. There were talks that he was going to
get a contract extension.
Yeah,
and then they just changed their minds and fired him.
That's a bit unfair, isn't it? I mean, what, you got into the playoffs?
Yeah, but they were really not very good, and they
he got them to the playoffs.
No, I know, but it was a sort of thing. I agree. It does seem harsh. It's quite a high standard to have set.
I'd just turn around and go be like, okay, well, what more did you want me to do?
Well, win the Super Bowl.
But I think one of the things they were really, really disappointed with was the lack of progression they've seen in Mariota. I think he really last year had a really good season. Was really expecting him to take that next step, and he's kind of gone back a couple.
Yeah, I think the injuries didn't help. You know, the running part of his game has really stagnated. But yeah, you're right. I think that there hasn't been progression. They were very exciting last year with DeMarco Murray running and Mariota playing really well. And yeah, they didn't really go forward, even though they did get in the playoffs. But yeah, he's gone, and a few other coach hirings.
Yeah, the Patriots having some switch arounds, aren't they?
They will do. I mean, they potentially might lose both their offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator.
It just doesn't matter when you've got Belichick. That's all that you need.
Well,
could be the beginning of the end.
Yeah,
we'll come on to that later.
Okay,
but with the defensive coordinator Matt Patricia is it confirmed becoming the Lions head coach?
I don't think it's confirmed yet.
But it's on the cards.
Bit of a funny surname, isn't it?
Patricia.
Yeah,
that's quite funny.
They call him Patty.
And Josh McDaniels, of course, their offensive coordinator, was. When Mularkey lost his job at the Titans, he was being very heavily favoured to take over the job there. But the Colts have come back in for him, and it's looking likely he's going to take over there.
Well, either way, he's going to be in the AFC South trying to topple the Jags. But he was actually highly touted to move last year. So it's interesting how he does after failing at the Broncos a few years ago.
And maybe he'll bring back Tebow. So
never know. Any other movements of coaches that we need to note?
The Giants have hired Pat Shurmur, the Vikings offensive coordinator. So, you know, quite a few teams that are still in the playoffs are losing key pieces next year. So interesting to see how that affects them, especially after seeing how the Falcons struggled without their offensive coordinator this year.
And can we just jump in to say the Browns are currently looking at Greg McAdon. They're checking out to see if he'll be offensive coordinator.
Ben McAdoo. Ben. Not Greg McAdon.
Who's Greg McAdon? Yeah, sorry, Ben McAdon.
I have to say, this has been out of the top drawer from all of us.
Absolute shambles.
I love it. I think this is actually...
I was thinking of Greg McAdoo.
I think this is...
You just ate your microphone.
This is our selling point of the podcast. We're going to say stuff. Some of it will be complete bollocks. Some of it won't be.
We've moved away from our USB... Too much recently. We're back.
Yeah,
exactly. Fantastic.
Talking nonsense.
Let's talk about the championship weekend. Let's talk about who's going to thrive and who's going to strive to be shit. We have the Patriots beating the Jags. Charles, who's the banker here? Tom Brady, I assume.
Leonard Fournette.
Leonard Fournette.
Even though he was involved in a car accident earlier today.
Oh, sorry to hear
that. Yeah, I actually... A little bit of poo came out when I saw the headline.
All right.
But then it turns out he's okay, thank God. But I think he...
thank God for him and his family and his health, of course.
Have you not seen his interview? All he says is, I want to thank God. I don't know if he's actually all right in the head. But he doesn't say anything else other than that.
Right.
Anyway, he's definitely going to be the banker this weekend because the Jags will have to rely on him.
He has God on his side. Yeah. Greeny, who's the tanker in this? this game, I assume an atheist.
So Lewis, the running back for the Patriots, has had a number of strong weeks, but the Jags have one of the best interior defensive linemen. They've got Marcel Darius, who I reckon will just fall on top of him and break him in half quite early in the game.
All right.
That's a bold, in terms of bold predictions.
Looking out for that one. Yeah. And the cheeky pick, JP?
It's a very cheeky pick this week.
Tom Brady.
Kenny Britt.
Ooh. Oh!
Completely forgot he played for the Patriots.
Wide receiver. I think he's had two receptions since he joined them.
I love it.
But this always happens. Patriots, I think Greeny said it last week, someone comes out the blue and scores match-winning touchdown.
I think that's the only way if the Jags lose. That's the only consolation I'll ever be able to get if it's Britt
will get
in
the
end
zone. Who's going to win this game? Quick round table. Greeny.
I really want the Jags to win.
I'm
going to go with Jags.
Charles?
Obviously the Jags are going to win.
JP?
I want the Jags, but the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm with JP, I'm afraid. I would love the Eagles.
I would love it if we beat them.
Yeah, I would as well.
Love it.
Fingers crossed for you. The Eagles have the rather simple task of beating Case Keenan's Vikings in the late Sunday night game. JP, who's your banker here? Which Eagles player would you say?
I think Diggs is going to continue to fly high and have another big game.
I thought you just had to have another 60-yard walk-off touchdown.
Charles, who's the tanker?
The tanker, I think Ajayi. I don't think that necessarily means the Eagles will lose. I just think the Vikings have been phenomenal against the run, and I think Ajayi will struggle. He hasn't been great anyway, and I think they'll have to throw it through the
air. Greeny, provide me with some hope here. Who's your cheeky pick?
Here's a little bit of hope. You got Foles throwing small slanty passes all the way to Corey Clement.
Fantastic. I like that.
Translation.
And who's going to win? Come on. Who's winning this game? JP? It's a tough one.
Vikings.
Okay.
Charles? Home advantage.
I was about to say the Eagles, but I've written down the Vikings, so
I'll go
the Eagles.
Okay.
If you've gone Eagles, I'm going to go Vikings. Home field advantage
might be
big for the
Eagles.
You guys need
a bit more trust in
Hey, let's go Eagles, all right?
Okay, come on. Come on, the Eagles. We want an Eagles-Jag Super Bowl.
We really do.
Let's bring it on. It'd be amazing.
I do not want an Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl, because that would be very unflattering for the Eagles.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. As long as the Eagles make it, but I would like it to be Eagles-Jags.
I mean, there's no pride in losing the Super Bowl.
But there's more pride than not getting anywhere close.
No, the Chargers will be happier.
time for our halftime snacks, Zing Zing, which is the best Chinese takeaway in the UK. It's official. And you can get 20% off by using the code 20bytes on your Chinese takeaway. And a chance to mention Linky, homeless initiative that we're all working on. Mainly me, but them as well. So check us out, Linky_UK on Twitter. So time for Grant. Time for Deeney's top three town. Troy Deeney.
I don't know where to start with that. Yeah, Troy Deeney's town. We're in crunch time, and the players look beyond their ability, and they become extremely superstitious. So let's look at some of the pre-game superstitions.
How did you come up with these?
It's brilliant, because I actually, when the one week I had it, I was like, oh, what do I do? And I came up with, well, if you remember, one of the most appallingly depressing things that's ever existed.
I haven't laughed that much in a long time.
Yeah, but to be fair, it was by far the funniest segment we've ever done, but not necessarily what I set out to achieve.
And we can find it in the archive somewhere.
Yeah.
Is that the segue? Okay, so number three, we're going to go John Henderson, Big Hen. He was the defensive tackle for the Jags, and he is as much of a monster as Clayus Campbell is. So, big-sized man with 500 career tackles to his name. And before games, the defender would ask the trainer to give him a good old hard slap around the face as hard as he could, as he was a bit of a nutter who believed that getting the first hit of the day was good luck.
So he would ask to slap someone?
No, he would ask the trainer to slap him around the face because being hit or the first hit was good luck.
Right,
But since retiring, he has not had too much luck, having two failed business ventures, both in Jacksonville, called the Four Big Men by Big Hen clothing collection and the Big John's Crumpy's Wings and Things restaurant.
He should have just slapped all the waiters and stuff.
Oh, my God.
Right. Number two being a big man for this weekend, Mr. Tommy Brady. So before games, I thought this was brilliant, actually. He likes to repair his wide receivers for game day adversity.
Repair? Are they broken?
Prepare his wide receivers for game day adversity. So he takes them to a spot on the pitch which has a lot of light shining through, and he pelts them with balls to catch whilst they're staring at the sun. Okay. So that gives them a lot of, I guess.
What if it's in a dome or it's not sunny?
Well, even the Cowboys Stadium, which is a dome, has that kind of window of light coming through.
What about all those other stadiums that are a dome and don't have that, or if it's not sunny?
Maybe they get someone to, you know, throw a javelin at them at the same time.
Shine a torch in their eyes.
That's a bit extreme.
But it may explain the ridiculous concentration that the players have had, such as Edelman during the catch against the Falcons last year.
Fair play.
And number one, a man who recently featured in the NFL UK Glasgow Forum, being Manny Sanders, which is the wide receiver for the Broncos. There's a chance he probably doesn't do this anymore because he's had a number of years in his career. But before games, he must beat the opposition in a game of Madden. So,
yeah, imagine if he was just crap at Madden and just couldn't sleep because he kept losing.
He's just playing 30 games of Madden. It could definitely happen to me.
Yeah, well, the Jags actually tweeted out, because obviously the Steelers were bigging up how much they were going to get ready to play the Patriots even before the Jags game, and the Jags tweeted out saying, "Oh yeah, you feel free to play the Jags at Madden all week," which is quite funny.
Always has to bring it back to the Jags. Yeah.
I do find myself weirdly on Bleacher Report. They do like simulations of FIFA before big, you know, Champions League games,
boring things,
or Madden
time.
Things. Somehow I end up watching them, and they're terribly boring.
I mean, surely that's obvious.
The latest one was, would Swansea beat City currently if they had Neymar, Messi and Ronaldo?
Did they win?
I didn't watch it.
That's probably the worst story that's ever happened.
Let's move on to some of our listener questions. James Green, is that a relation of yours, Greeny?
Yes.
Okay, James Green, where do the Vikings and Jags defences rank in the history of great defences? Greeny?
Back to me. So I would say the Vikings have had an amazing defensive year. You know, their cornerbacks with Xavier Rhodes have been great. Their upfront presence has been awesome. But they haven't had a lot of turnovers. They've only had like 19 this year, which you compare to maybe like the Ravens back in, you know, early 2000s or Tampa Bay. They were getting, you know, over 40. So it just shows they're not actually creating a lot of turnovers. Maybe quite, they're compressing the field, but they're just not doing enough to save the teams. And if they had maybe a worse quarterback than maybe Keenum's been, would we be talking about the Vikings in the same way? I don't know.
Yeah, I agree that they haven't been as playmaking. They've been really solid and not allowing any points being scored, but they're not scoring points themselves, which I think is what makes defences elite. And whilst the Jags have been doing that, I think they've had a few too many games where they've been a bit too ill-disciplined. And I think they're still a very young unit, and I think they have the potential to be there in the future, because they're all locked up in contracts for the next few years. But this year, not quite yet, but they're certainly on the cusp of greatness.
Yeah. Okay. So the answer is no. Well, I think with the Jags though, that if they go on and say were to win the Super Bowl, that would be because of their defense throughout the whole season. So then they would be thought about in the same regard as one of the best defenses. Okay. But
so maybe we'll come back to that question in a couple of weeks.
Can I just say, I just wanted to do a little comparison. And I mentioned the Bucs, but they didn't allow in the 2002 season, they didn't allow a 300-yard game and only allowed four 200-yard games,
okay, that's
which
absurd.
Frankly is absurd.
Yeah. Is this one of the ones where we can believe you or we can't, Greeny?
No, three out of four facts are made up.
Okay, Patrick asks, I feel like the Jags could be a really good foil for New England. Do you agree, or is that just a fan's wishful thinking? JP?
I mean, out of any of the teams left going for the Super Bowl, I think that the Jags are the most likely to put a stop to the Patriots.
Rubbish. The Eagles.
Who do you think?
The Eagles.
No, I'm... The Jags defense.
Nonsense.
I think we've just spoken about it. The Jags have got those playmaking ability players on their defense, and it's going to be a great game to see how they do against Brady.
Yeah, I agree. The only concern is actually on the fact that they play the short yard passes to the running backs. That's if there's any weakness, that might be it, and that's what the Patriots have been quite good at. But we'll see.
Laura asks, Stefon Diggs' walk-off touchdown is one of the craziest finishes to a game I've ever seen. What other sports have had crazy finishes like that? It's a great question. Charles, you got any examples?
Aguero!
I was about to say Aguero.
I mean, that one, and also the 1989 fever pitch, the Arsenal winner at Anfield.
Oh, yeah, that was Michael Thomas.
Yeah, it was indeed. Yeah, the wide receiver for the Saints.
I think I was in my mum's belly at that time, and she was jumping up and down with joy as Arsenal.
Yeah, but that explains a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, football, I mean, those are two of the...
I think also
the Champions League, maybe?
Oh yeah, of course.
But also the England Rugby World Cup final.
That is a great shout. Yeah.
That was an unbelievable finish.
2003?
Yeah, 2003. Johnny Wilkinson. Yeah. Matt Dawson onto Johnny Wilkinson's right foot, if I remember.
I've got a good one here, which you might like, which is a golf one, where we've got Larry Mize from 1987 US Masters.
I remember it
chipping
well.
Chipping to beat Norman. Chipping straight in.
Sadly, don't know that one. I probably should as a golf
you
fan.
You really should.
Yeah.
That was a big
There's definitely
chipping
some
Norton.
Golf in Chipping
Norton.
I feel Norton. Like yeah. golf for me...
Chipping Norman and Chipping Norton. Sorry.
As I was saying, golf for me. No one listens when I talk about golf. Yeah, it was just very exciting. moving back to James, who has asked, has Case Keenum answered his critics or his questions?
Yeah.
But I won't go to you, Charles, because you don't understand that question.
Because he asked it correctly.
JP, has he answered his answers to the critics
he
slash
has.
Questions?
He has. He's led his Vikings team to the championship game, one game away from the Super Bowl. And if he makes it there, like, what an unbelievable season.
And if you're the owner of the Tennessee Titans, you'd say to get rid of him.
Shout out to Jeff Fisher. Like, just done an unbelievable job with them.
Well, they won games, didn't they?
Or eight.
No. With Fisher, he won like the first four or five games. They ended up losing maybe the next 10.
But made him the quarterback he is today. That's...
Yeah. I mean, the top two of the top quarterbacks this year were Keenum and Goff. And last year, the Rams were appalling with both of them. So, I don't think Fisher will get a job anytime soon.
Joel, is this Joel? Who's Joel? My brother-in-law. I didn't know he even listens to this podcast. Three of the four remaining playoff teams have never won the Super Bowl. Will there be a first-time winner this year? For me, there will be. It'll be the Eagles. Greeny, is anyone going to win that's not the Patriots?
Have the Eagles not won the Super Bowl?
No, don't think they have, no, sadly.
Wow.
Well, I went for the Jags in the last, so I have to say, yes, there will be a new winner. But it's really unlikely that Brady won't be able to take his team through both games here.
What do you guys think? Is Brady all the way?
The Jags.
I don't see how the Patriots don't win it.
It's sad, the Jags. Isn't it?
You're not listening. It's the Jags.
Ryan has said
it's incredibly boring, but we're living in such a blessed time to see the Patriots just win everything every year. Seven straight AFC conferences. Just to see like Ronaldo Messi at the same time of, you know, Tiger Woods.
I feel blessed.
You
feel blessed.
I'm so blessed.
Thank you, God.
I just got to thank God.
It's incredible what they're doing, and you probably won't have another
domination like that.
Yeah. Ryan has said, "How can the Titans fire their head coach after reaching the playoffs and losing to the favourites? Yet the Bengals, given theirs, a 2-year contract for missing the playoffs by a mile." I imagine he wrote that in similar tone to which I read it. I'm with you, Ryan. I think it's absolutely ludicrous, as Charles would say. Anyone disagree with Ryan?
I don't disagree with him, but just look at the Browns. They're keeping on their head coach, who's 1-31.
Yeah.
That really is appalling.
Well, before Marvin Lewis joined the Bengals, they were the Browns. They weren't winning any games. And he's actually created, if you watched the Hard Knocks a number of years ago, that he's created a good environment there. He's created a good structure.
I feel like he's a bit like Wenger. Like, yeah. He's just been there a bit too long now. Outstate he's living on past good times.
Get that succession plan then. If you had, I don't know if you'd want Hugh Jackson, but if you
take him back.
If you had someone there to kind of ease him out, but you don't just drop him now and pick up who, you know, Malarkey? I don't know. Who do you get?
Greg McAdon't.
Love it. Should we press on with the final question from Rob, which is, with the Patriots losing their defensive and offensive coordinators and Brady now 40, are we looking at the collapse of a dynasty? And if so, and this is the part of the question I like, and if so, which team are contenders to be the next dynasty? Who's going to be the next Patriots if there were to be one? Who would it be?
I mean...
Tough question.
It is a tough question.
And I know it's so sound, but...
Steelers for me.
I think Big Ben is too old to do that. I think you need one that's...
Okay, good point.
I think either with a young quarterback.
Could be the Eagles then. Wentz.
It could be with Wentz. It definitely could be. Wow. And
the Rams with McVay. Yeah. Young roster.
Yeah, you'd say the Rams, Eagles, Niners all have a good chance. But I think there'll be like a few
just
years.
Just through the Niners, they're very, very sneakily. I mean, that's quite a bold shout considering.
Well, you just got Garoppolo, who was the succession to the Patriots. They're building a great roster.
No, I'm not necessarily saying you're wrong, but you kind of said
maybe
that.
Maybe the new dynasty will be the Patriots. And they'll just continue.
Wow. Yeah, and with a new Tom
like
Brady.
An episode of Black Mirror.
I think if the Ravens can flog away Flacco, I think they could be the new organisation there.
And let's not write off the Jags. This defence is going to be there for a number of years. And, you know, defence wins championships.
As we go into championship weekend, we have decided to do a little bit of fun. We've decided to hold a little mini draft. Well, we're going to hold it now live on the podcast. So all the available players, but you can only what a player can be used once, as it normally is in NFL fantasy. So we've randomly picked a draft order. And that is Charles JP Greeny-Adley. Sounds fair. We're going to run through and pick our players. So, kicking off with the man himself, Andrew Charles. Who are you going for? Overall number one pick.
On the clock. Let's go.
Purely because most of the other quarterbacks aren't any good, I'm going to go with Father Time, Tom Brady.
Okay. JP, who are we saying?
Ooh, I am going to go with... I'm going to go with Gronk.
That was my other choice.
Okay. Greeny, who are you going with?
I'm going to go here with Fournette. I think Fournette's going to have a big game here against Patriots.
Okay, I'm going for Zach Ertz as my pick.
And
it's back to me again, isn't it? This is exciting. I'm going to go, you know what, I'm going to cover all bases. I'm going to take Case Keenum.
Nice.
Bold shout, but and against the Eagles, but I'm going for
him. We've both gone against our own team.
Yeah. Greeny, back to you.
So I'm in the very fortunate position to get to... Oh, no. I was going to go Bortles, and I realised a Jag stack. That can't be happening. In that case, it's going to... I'm going to have more than a feeling about this.
Okay.
Feeling.
Who are we up to? JP?
That's me.
Oh, sorry. No, it's JP.
No, it's me.
It's you.
I am going to go with... Deion Lewis.
Oh, you bastard.
Nice pick, that one. Okay, Charles, you got two picks. The double pick, the double entendre.
Okay, well, I was going to pick Lewis, so I've got to have a little
think. You can't.
I'm going to pick Latavius Murray and...
response to that.
And...
are you struggling for players' names?
Kyle Rudolph.
Okay. We're back at JP.
I'm going to go with Stephon Diggs.
Is anyone noting any of this down? Because I'm certainly not. Hope one of the listeners is.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Stephon Diggs, okay. Greeny.
Did you say Ertz?
I'm afraid.
Oh,
yes.
That's terrible news.
You're stuck. There's no point picking him yet.
Mercedes-Lewis.
So I'll go Bortles then.
I can't believe Foles has gone last as a quarterback. Okay. I'm going to...
Oh, my God, my team.
I've just looked at it.
I'm going... my double pick is going to be I'm going to take an Eagle in Jay Ajayi. I feel like he's coming back, and then I'm going to take Chris Hogan at wide receiver.
Like
we're back to Greeny.
Tight end, Greeny.
So tight end, I'm taking he got 3 touchdowns in a game this year back in London, didn't he?
Yeah.
Have you got his name?
Mercedes Lewis.
Have you got 3 Jags?
I tell you what. I'm all in on the Jags.
He's gone from fantasy champion to not a great team. Well, wait,
Jags win on the
then
back
you're looking
of
good.
Then I'm looking great.
Okay, JP?
You can't pick any of their defenders. So
Final pick for you.
It's Foles. I'm left with the only quarterback.
Okay.
And that means that Charles is left with...
Can I just confirm that Alshon Jeffrey and Cooks are both
available. They are both available. Take your pick.
Jeff.
Yeah, I agree with that, Charlie.
I've got Brady. I might go Amendola as a
double
shout. Alshon Jeffrey.
Well done. Good choice. He'll be bringing.
Do you guys
home.
Remember your teams?
Yeah. I've really screwed the pooch.
I don't know why I went. I've gone Foles, Deion Lewis, Stephon Diggs, and Gronk.
I've gone Brady, Latavius Murray, Alshon Jeffrey, Kyle Rudolph.
that was nervous laughter. Bortles, ooh. Fournette, ooh. Thielen, and Mercedes.
That really is.
Wait, is there not like a backup
diabolical
tight end behind the
I've
the
gone Case Keenum, Jay Ajayi, Chris Hogan, Zach Ertz.
That's quite
good.
Good,
pretty strong.
I just want to confirm, I'm pretty sure Mercedes Lewis hasn't had a catch in a month.
You That's are fine. Better without Tom.
I know.
Yeah.
There we go. The future is nigh.
I said the shout for...
Can we do waiver wire pickup?
I said the shout for Michael Floyd last week for the Vikings. It didn't come through, but he did get that catch for a touchdown, which got overturned. So that's how
close
it is.
We don't need to go through all the
And I'm saying right now, no, I thought it was a good pick because it's going to happen.
You thought it was a good pick because he got nothing.
I see an almost touchdown happening for Mercedes Lewis.
Okay. Charlie, have you got some trivia for us?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
don't sound too excited.
All right, we've got Guy Power, All I Do Is Lose, and Hair of the Dog.
Hair of the Dog.
Nice.
Okay.
Okay. In what year was the first Puppy Bowl?
What is a Puppy Bowl?
Sounds a little bit grim.
Does no one know what a Puppy Bowl is?
No.
You?
No. All right, fuck that question.
What is a Puppy Bowl?
That's for a different episode.
Okay. Is it a sexual innuendo?
Let's move along.
Okay, do you want to ask what question we want again? Or
Guy Power or All I Do Is Lose?
Guy Power.
Who was the first male cheerleader for the Denver Broncos?
Von Miller.
That's a good shout.
Eli Manning.
Wrong one.
No, I purposely picked Eli Manning.
I'm going to go with Akil Talib.
I'm having an absolute mind blank. Remind me of the general manager's name for the Broncos.
John Elway.
Elway. I'm going to go Elway.
It was Robin Williams.
Oh.
Okay. Okay.
Look up the picture. It's pretty funny.
Is he from the Colorado area? Must be. I don't know.
There we go. Charlie's just not bothered to respond. Charlie's just sat there shaking his head.
Charlie's getting involved with our lack
R.I.P.
Thanks for putting him on the spot.
Charlie, welcome addition to the group as a lack of research and lack of knowledge about the facts that we come up with.
Enjoy Championship weekend. I know we will. We need to watch it together, I think, guys. I know what you're all doing, but let's get together. Someone host. That's all we've got time for. You can hit us up on Twitter. We are at @Brits_endzone. Email us. Go onto our website, all those things. We will see you next week when we will know who's going to be in the Super Bowl. Hopefully Jags, Eagles, fingers crossed.
Very exciting.
Until then.
Go Jags, go Eagles. Bye.
Discover the life-changing benefits of Meow Greens for your cat. Ever see your cat slowing down or having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Meow Greens to your cat's food for 90 days, and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Meow Greens, and I invite you to take the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, they're going to have better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to trymeowgreens.com. Use promo code TRYMEOW. That's TRYMEOW. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a packet of Meow Greens.